Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door. Like,
but why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. you might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wild Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so we'll have Candace joining us here in just a second. And joining us next hour, we have a guest, George Barnett from Kentucky. He's running as magistrate, and we'll get into his campaign next hour. But let's go ahead and bring on Candace, and if you have anything you want to go over tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number one on your phone. We will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So, Candace, welcome in.
Hi, Proof.
I missed that voice.
I barely have my voice still. It's been like a week, and I'm still not feeling it. But last week, I had no voice at all.
It was just funny because last week here I am just expecting you to come on, and I have V on here, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I didn't know we were doing a switcheroo, and I'm not mad. It's like everybody knew, I guess, but me.
Well, it's because I posted in group chat. I'm like, I ain't gonna be able to do it tonight. I literally can't talk. Can anybody go on with Proof? And then V was like, yeah, sure.
And, yeah, I was at my day job, of course, so if there's a lot of conversation, I'm not going to scroll up and see who said what today.
I hear ya.
So you're back to work now?
Yeah, I got my voice back, went back to work. I'm still exhausted. So when you bring our special guest on in an hour, I might just go ahead and jet. But, Yeah.
I mean, did you want to take the hour off, or are you just going to sleep?
I might go to sleep, and I am so sorry.
Okay.
That's why when you said tonight, you were like, oh, you know, be on during the second hour. I was like, you know, that actually works out, because then, you know, because I'm sure this gentleman has a lot to say, and we'll have some callers calling in, so.
All right. Okay, so what have you been working on as far as stuff you've been looking at in the news over the last year?
Believe it or not, Kanye.
Yeah? Oh, I've been following that.
Yeah, it's actually highly interesting. I mean, but when they banned him off Twitter, well, first off, it was like I get a notification Kanye tweeted, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's been 2 years. I'm like, what's going on? And then, because he had been banned off Insta, and he came back on Twitter, got banned off Twitter within, like, 24 hours. And I'm like, dude, they need to leave Kanye alone. He will go build his own social media company. Sure enough, he goes out and wants to buy Parler now.
So why are they still banning people on Twitter when they know that Elon Musk is going to take it over any day now?
Because the deal is not done yet, and Elon's not in charge yet.
No, I realize that, but they have to know that's not popular.
Oh, I know. But they don't care. They do not care. They're in the death throes. And Elon's already saying he's going to fire like 75% of the workforce there at Twitter.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, I don't think a lot of them are needed. I mean, they need an IT department, they need the marketing department, and that's about it, really.
Well, they might need some salespeople for selling ads, but that's about it. They don't need that much. But
see, to
the
me,
thing
it
is
goes
that
along with marketing.
As a CEO, does Elon Musk really want to keep people around that talk about how much they hate him?
No, not even. And he's not going to keep people around that are just dead weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they need to keep the servers up. They need to keep the app going. So there's your IT department. And then
yeah,
the marketing.
Yeah, I'm sure sales. Elon Musk can go around and see who's a pro-communist and get rid of accordingly. And I'm certain that if one guy gets fired and he puts up a job posting, that you'll have 2,000 people applying for one job.
Well, here's the other thing, too, though. What if he's already got plans to make the majority of it AI?
No, it's possible, but I don't think that we're there yet.
Oh, I don't even know. But, yeah, the whole, you know, Kanye thing, you know, I mean, Elon African-American went out and bought Twitter. Kanye African-American went out and bought, you know, Parler. It just kind of cracks me up. But there have been a huge influx of people coming to Parler because of Kanye. I actually went back into my old account.
Yeah, I know Parler was supposed to be the next big thing, but after Amazon took down the apps and it went dark for a little bit, it stalled out. And when they reopened, there wasn't that much of a buzz on that.
Yeah, people's attention spans are short. And the app needs to be a little bit better to compete, in all honesty.
Well, for me, I just look at it as a replacement for Twitter.
Yeah,
it's not equivalent to Facebook at all, not even close.
Yeah, but I think Facebook is outdated in a huge way.
It's possible. I'm not saying
yeah.
Yes or no. I like the idea of having groups because I want the ability to have thousands of people come together for a cause like what I have. And Parler and Twitter don't really offer that.
Yeah, but can't Reddit take care of that need? I'm just playing devil's advocate, but...
Yeah, but if you don't really care for Reddit that much, it doesn't satisfy what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't like Reddit, then yeah.
I mean, there is Substack, I guess, but my goal is I don't want to preach to a choir. And I don't want Twitter where everything's a cesspool. Facebook, as much as we might not want to admit it, is a happy medium where you have people that are like-minded like you. There are people that are 180 degrees against you, and then there's people that you could talk to that have no clue
right.
what's going on, and you can influence them. None of the other social medias really have that broad scope yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, but the censorship on Facebook is just getting insane.
No,
I'm not
disagreeing. I agree with that heavily, but like if you go over to Gab, I have a hard time making friends on Gab. And if I do, nobody comments on everything because everybody's posting the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the mix.
And if you
want to
look at outdated, you should look at MeWe.
Yeah, I have not been on that since they freaking started charging. What was the one that they had? It was Minds.com. I think that one was awesome, though.
I don't even know if that's still open, but it didn't get any traction if it is still open.
No, it really didn't. I'm like, this is crazy. Because Minds was actually cool. I liked it better than MeWe.
But
I think, like, what,
MeWe
one is like...
MeWe is more outdated than MySpace.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I haven't been on there in a couple of years.
But I did tell you, though, before, Candace, I'm actually making, well, not myself, but our nonprofit is actually making money on Facebook. So at least there's that.
Nice.
I never told you?
No, you never told me. What happened?
Yeah, so Barefoot is Legal has so much of a following on Facebook that they have offered money for our posts, and they have an algorithm for our business page that they follow, I guess, where they look at our shares, our likes, our new followers, and everything, and then they pay us accordingly based on our traffic.
Have they made you verify your identity or no?
Everything goes to the nonprofit, so I don't make a penny. The organization makes money.
No, I'm not talking about that. I understand. You're totally ethical like that. Some people are being hit with the having to show their, like, send a copy of their ID and all that.
Oh, I had to do that a long time ago.
I have yet to be hit with that. I'm lucky.
No, a few years ago, back in 2019, there was a coup, so to speak, where a group of people thought they could take over Freedomizer Radio and they can take over Barefoot is Legal. So somebody in that crime syndicate, so to speak, told Facebook that I stole their identity or stole their copyright or did something, that they owned Barefoot is Legal, or I don't remember exactly, because it was never clear to me, but I know that I had to go to the FBI. There's a local office here. I had to go there twice, and
I had to
submit documents from the FBI to Facebook so that I can get my account back, because I was completely banned from Facebook.
Oh, my God.
The only thing is that
our
two board members, other than me, both agreed that they would not give up control of the nonprofit to them. So they couldn't do anything. They thought that because they were kind of friends that they would be able to just knock me over and just take over. But that didn't happen.
Wow. That is craziness.
So one person thought they could take Barefoot as Legal, and the other one thought they could take over Freedomizer. So back then, we had a completely full staff, and the webmaster for Freedomizer wrote to all of our show hosts and told them that within 30 days, Freedomizer Radio was going to close, and if they wanted to keep their radio show, to go with them. So out of the 15 show hosts, I think we kept three, and 12 of them went over there without asking me questions or anything.
They didn't even respect you enough to talk with you first. That is crazy.
I guess not.
I mean, you think that's something that somebody would bring up on, like, the group chat before they went and did it, you know? Like, Dave, what's going on?
I understand that. Nobody said proof. Is this true? They just said, okay, I'll quit my show here and go over there.
Oh, my God. Hey, weren't people getting emails? I thought I read something about that in group like a week or two ago. People were starting to get emails.
About what?
Oh, now you're going to make me go to the chat and scroll up. There's something about, I don't know, some kind of a verification or something. I don't know. Let me go look.
Oh, you mean like some spam? Yeah, I don't know anything about the spam. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's pure spam. People do that sometimes when you leave your email address somewhere.
They would probably hate me then. I barely check email. We had to take a phishing course at work.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you guys, if you don't check your email, you don't have to worry about being phished. They were like, no, you have to check your email. I'm like, oh, okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that just deletes everything anyway, so I've gotten in trouble for deleting stuff that I should have kept, not because I don't want to be involved in any phishing stuff.
Yeah, I actually delete stuff too. Like if it's my boss or something, I'll like read it. But I actually deleted an email one time, and then my boss was like, "You have to like respond to the email saying that you got it and you acknowledge it." And I'm like, "I seriously cannot find this email," and it turned out I had deleted it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like, a 3-year struggle we've had. So ever since then, it's just been hard to fill the time slots.
That is just, that's mind-blowing that nobody respected you enough to be like, what's going on?
Yeah. I understand. That's how I found Dahl. And then from there, Brother Gregory, I think, is the only host that we still have. That
yeah.
Was from the previous doing of Freedomizer. Everybody else is within the last 3 years, I think. Unless Joanne Moretti comes back. She stayed with me.
I love her so much. I love Joanne.
But, yeah, there were people that were with me 10 years that have gone over to the other one, and I don't know what they do now, but you're somewhere for 10 years. Somebody says that Freedomizer is about to quit. He's just not going to tell you. Oh, okay, I'll move now. Yeah,
they had to
be dirty like that.
They had to have been offered a deal or something.
Oh, I don't have a clue. Nobody's going to talk to me, of course, but
yeah,
sometimes. You find in this movement, you find people that, like myself, I'm for the cause. And because of that, of me not being an opportunist, I don't get ahead because I'm here to fight the New World Order. But there's other people that are the, hey, look at me people. And those people are the ones that will cut somebody to get ahead.
Yeah, the karma always comes around, though.
Oh, I'm not going to stress over it, but I'm just, since it came up.
Yeah. Yeah, karma always comes around.
Well, and it'll always come back for Klaus Schwab, too. We're not going to eat the bugs and own the nothing.
Oh, speaking of, did you read about the Boston University episode this past week?
Oh, I've been covering it for 2 days.
Oh, have you? Okay. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I shared a bunch of mainstream news articles, too, because they're not going to ban every single news article on it. So if you get stuff from the Boston Globe and the New York Slimes and all the other ones, that they're not going to fact check the regular everyday newspapers that share 99% fake news.
Oh man, Boston University is hitting back hard, and I came across PolitiFact and they were fact checking it.
Yeah,
they were like halfway true. I'll read it, and I'm like, well, everything that you said is true. So how is this halfway true? Because you're calling all the claims true, but you're saying it's only half true.
Well, it's
so
because
you know
they want to put a mark on people. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just kind of cracked me up. Yeah, I've read so many articles on it today. I haven't seen it for a couple of days now, and I'm like, all right, I got to dig into
this. It just gets me, and Dr. Fraudy was out there saying he didn't pay for gain of function, but yet here we go with Peter Daszak gets another grant from Dr. Fraudy to do another Wuhan lab.
Yeah,
he can't hide this one.
No, he can't. He can now. It's right here. I don't know. I was talking to my husband tonight, and I was like, man, if they don't want people to believe in conspiracy theories, they got to quit doing conspiracy theory stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, this whole Russia-Ukraine thing is a joke. I'm like, I'm convinced it's not even real life. And I'm like, but they've got people scared that we're going to start nuking each other. I'm like, now...
Oh, and, what I'm trying to understand here, and I posted on this earlier, there were several people on Twitter, and usually when I come across radical commies, I block them on Twitter, even if I've never had a conversation with them, because I don't want my Twitter feed just being inundated with fake news and commies.
Right.
So in two successive sentences or two successive posts, I saw several people, and one was how we need to have nuclear war with Russia to save the planet, and the other one was that Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer. And I found four or five people in a row that had one post or the other, and then immediately after was about the nuclear war. And
right.
I don't know what script they're all reading. And I don't know, other than radical commies, I don't know how a nuclear war will save the planet. Because I'm clueless on that. Someone will have to mansplain me.
It'll depopulate. I mean, basically, pure and simple, it'll depopulate the planet.
And that's how it makes it good?
Yeah,
because
that's how
it won't be able to grow anything in there. I don't even know if they can grow yet in Siberia. I heard they're trying to, but it might be 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. It'll depopulate. It'll stop farming. It'll stop drilling. So between them saying we're all going to die because of nuclear war, now they've got this COVID that has an 80% kill rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is so proving that Rothschild's depopulation conspiracy. It really is. I mean, they have a boogeyman when they kill two-thirds of us off or whatever, then they can blame it on a boogeyman when they rewrite the history book.
And now that the public knows exactly what's going on for the most part, I'm not saying everybody, but there's enough of us that know the truth, then they can get rid of us and write whatever they want to have in there. Like,
hey,
we don't know anything from the 15 or 1600s.
The winners always write the history.
Yeah.
Which is why we got to win.
All right, well... we have Vito here, but I know we have our guest coming up, and I have some Broccoli Man here that I want to get the Broccoli Man out of the way because you're only here for a little bit longer.
Well, I just want to give, our guest time to really, get his message across, take calls, things like that. I want all the focus to be on him.
So let me give you, there's two Broccoli Men here. So one is Jamar getting another booster, but this one here is a debate with Wiretap and G Globalist.
Ooh, I didn't see that one. I saw the booster one. I just forgot to comment on it.
Oh, I'd appreciate it if you went on Rumble and made comments.
Yeah, I can start doing that. I gave it a like.
Okay.
Yeah, most definitely. It was a good one, though.
All right, so let's get G Globalist up.
I am ready when you are. Just do the countdown.
So
I got it up.
Down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another debate. We are joined today by one of the biggest extremists of all time. He is a stupid cisgender male that is not smart enough to understand that men can get pregnant and that having peace on Earth and not having a nuclear war is somehow better for the environment. He is also against drag queen story time and unfairly arrests minor attracted persons. He also...
Hey, can we move on already instead of you trying to prove you are better than me?
You look here a little busy. You are going to zip it? Zip it good. You are going to let my host Martha say everything bad you ever done in your life. The public needs to know you bees is a domestic terrorist threat.
Thank you, Wiretap. Anyway, this total imbecile refuses to buy GMO food like the rest of us 99%, and he also voted for Trump like a total fool, and he refuses to wear scams or get any gene therapies. Please, let's all shun together Broccoli Man. I said do not outbid him. You should only be that fool. He needs to be shamed.
Thank you, audience.
You best close that front door or we will have the local police shoot you dead. Anyway, we have the sponsor of our debate, the head of Lies and the Kefar Mafia Dickles. He is the person responsible for everyone getting all their gene therapies.
On page 9,
we have G-Lod Bullist and one of the greatest superheroes of all time, the Wiretap.
All of you who are booing, we will be stripping you of your dungarees in just a moment. You all will be taken to a FEMA camp that does not exist.
Thank you for having us, Martha. I just hope you can keep that yacht silenced during this debate. We do not need him educating the public or hurting our crime syndicate.
If that is the case, then why is it Lysenica did zero testing on the COVID gene therapies? These gene therapies killed millions of people and you don't even care.
Hey, something ducker for real. You need to shut that soup hole right this instant. How about you show us those kumquats right this instant, right here, right now, green dude?
Everyone that has gotten the juice is getting blood clots, myocarditis, and death. Plus they are getting COVIDs now all the time.
Hey, Biznich, you need to stop showing the world you are a racist dolt and get your gene therapies. It is perfectly normal for everyone to have blood clots, death, and the heart attack, tack, 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 dog.
Of course, we did not want to test the COVID gene therapies before giving them to the public. If we did, they would not have been approved. If they did not get approved, then we would not have made record profits. Also, we need to exterminate as much of you 99% fast, legit, and useless eaters so we can control the Earth without you eating our food and using our resources.
Broccoli Man, why are you so insistent on fighting for the 99%? The 1% do not care about them. They do not care about you. The 99% are just fools who are trained SEAL to do what the 1% says.
Correct, Martha. That is why we can get them to vote Democrat. Even if Governor Shehadzak says if you vote for him he will kill you, they will still vote for Shehadzak because he is a Democrat. All you should care about is which former president sends me tweets.
That green dude is also against me diddling children and doing drag queen story times. He will not even go on a date with me. I even offered to drive him in my 1993 Geo Metro.
You are creepy AF and all I want to do is arrest you. Child traffickers and people that go to Epstein's Island will have spending eternity with Satan. I will always stand up for our kids.
Now, Broccoli Man, you are being way too extreme. People who are minor attracted persons are great people who influence our society. No one cares if they like to spend time with our youth. People like that coach from Penn State have been unfairly targeted. Great anti-American patriots like John Fetterwomen are helping us stand up against America.
You mean the guy that thinks the Eagles are better than the Eagles?
And the Eagles are so much better than the Eagles! No, no.
he's still cisgender broccoli man. Even Madonna says they are gay now. You need to get with the trends. You also need some pronouns. What are your pronouns?
My pronouns are bleep/you.
Not funny, green dude. Not even a little bit. Just for that poor choice of word says, you must remove said dungarees right away so we can get in all swabbed up in the cavity. We need to make sure you're not hiding any R15s, any meat cleavers, or any gas-powered automobiles inside your junk.
How would anyone be able to hide a car inside their junk?
Don't you backs me, Republican. We know you Republicans like to do things to prove you are a domestic terrorist.
Mark, do you have a taser? We need to shut that green yutz up. If anyone hears this, they might believe him. We need to spread our agenda and fake news so we do not get arrested.
Broccoli man, why is it you are against Brandon's great economy? Every Democrat in charge says this economy is the best it has been in almost 100 years.
Are you serious? The price of gas has tripled. The inflation rate is worse than in the 1970s. We are wasting billions every single week going to the Ukraine. The government is having runaway spending. Plus, all of you are begging for a nuclear war.
Of course we need a war, green dude. We need to remove all of your 99% fools from this earth.
Mr. Broccoli, we would appreciate it so much if you would just go to that FEMA camp that does not exist. We need to get everyone a microchip so we can make sure Earth's population never goes above 500 million for any reason. We can detonate anyone's chip that we like so we can never lose control or power over whomever is left. Your death would be the greatest thing to this Earth.
I agree. Why does Broccoli Man want to live in the past and not let G-Lobos run the Earth?
Because I believe in freedom and I am not a child diddling thug like you all.
Green dude, that outburst was uncalled for. Now you are definitely going to that FEMA camp right after this show. Even though they do not exist, now you need to be strip searched right this instant so I can get a look-see at said junk.
Okay, that is all the time we have tonight. Thank you everyone for coming. Please support Lysenecke Pharmacia Dickles and get the latest gene therapies. And if you get myocarditis or a blood clot, just remember it is still much better than if you did not get your gene therapy. Tell your extremist friends it is no big deal if you die after getting your gene therapy and it is just a coincidence.
Why are we not asking about how many heart attacks G. Lobalist had or how many times he got COVIDs?
Look ye ups, I received all 59 boosters. I had only 23 heart attacks and got COVIDs only 49 times. It would have been much worse if I did not get this juice.
I think that is hashtag fake news. I never got any juice and have never ever had COVIDs or myocarditis.
What do you want, sir? A cookie? A parade in your honor? A kiss on the lips, green dude?
No. I just want all of you arrested for crimes against humanity. And for everyone else to listen to Proof Negative on FreedomizerRadio.com weeknight.
You buy as niche a buzzkill, and a something ducker for real. We are not going to tell people about FreedomizerRadio.com or the Proof Negative Radio Show. We need to establish a one world government without you waking up the sleeping trained seals. Now if we can end this debate, I have a pizza napkin in the wall and a hot dog to attend to at that pizza place.
Alright, so that was an episode.
Oh, dude, you brought up the freaking napkin from Podesta.
Yes.
Wow. That just kicked everything off. You remember? I am not joking. Oh my god.
Well, those were some,
those were some fun times though. When everybody started investigating, the Podesta emails dropped, the DNC emails dropped, I was in every one of those groups about the trafficking.
We didn't get canceled?
Nope, we never got canceled. Never, ever.
All right, so let's get Jamar's 60th booster going, and I'll try to bring Beagle in before our guest.
All right, but before we do this, you have to explain to me what is up with the Eagles are better than the Eagles. I must have missed something.
No, John Fetterwoman said that at a rally. That's where the clip came from. He went up there because he had a stroke, and he said the Eagles are much better than Eagles.
Okay, all right. I'm like, what did I miss? Okay. I got the boost of Broccoli Man up. Hit it when you're ready.
All right, I'll throw it down now. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello again, Doctor. I'm here again for another booster. Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology said we have to get our next boosters or we cannot come back to class. I wish we did not have to keep getting these COVID gene therapies.
I'm so glad you have to get your next boosters. It is time for me to make more money.
This is booster number 60, player. Every time I get a gene therapy, I get a heart attack or I get COVIDs. I know it is not your fault. And it is not Lysnica's fault because they make the gene therapies. But I wish I did not get myocarditis and blood clots immediately after getting them.
Okay, Booster Boy. Time to roll up that sleeve. I don't mind if you get a heart attack. It means I make more money.
When is this going to stop? No one is getting COVID anymore, yet we have to get these boosters all the time. Then we get sick and go to the hospital. It is getting old, B.
We need you to get these gene therapies. We have found it is the best way to reduce population. Plus, as a doctor, I am not able to be sued for administering them to you. Without you getting these gene therapies, I would not have been able to pay back my student loans.
So with Donald Trump did not force us to get these gene therapies.
You do realize Brandon is the president now and not Trump. Correct.
True. But Trump is still Del Langs. We should get gene therapies.
Of course he is, son. He got over $1 million in donations for his presidential campaign to promote them. He is owned by Big Pharma to be their mRNA prostitute. He makes his fat stacks just like weak doctors do. Now, which arm do you want to use? We need to get you boosted up right now while the ambulance and EMT workers are waiting for you to have another heart attack. Which is a pure coincidence after getting a gene therapy.
SHIT is still requiring us to wear scams even after getting 60 boosters. They said if you are missing one booster, you have to wear 3 scams instead of just one if your gene therapies are up to date.
I am so glad that Lysnica rushes these gene therapies out. We have to move at the speed of science. If we had to have these mRNA juices tested, they would never pass for human consumption.
I understand, Doctor. But how do we know if the gene therapies are working? I have a bunch of friends who died right after getting these mRNAs. I know it was just a coincidence, but it is a lot of my friends, B. And the only people that are getting COVIDs are the ones that keep up to date with boosters. I have had COVID like 50 times already, player.
And just imagine how much worse it would be if you did not get your gene therapies.
I sure hope Michael Robinson Obama becomes president in 2024. She is such a nice lady. She would be doing a much better job than Brandon.
I agree, son. Big Mike would get more people to take these gene therapies. People are seeing through these failed gene therapies and are not taking them anymore. The only people taking these gene therapies are hardcore communist Democrats and people your age who are complying with college demands. That is why I donate some of my record profits to SHIT.
I also have to get my next booster for moneypox. And I need a flu shot, a shingles shot, and a pneumonia shot while I'm here.
That sounds like a great decision, son. I can get you the COVID booster right now and while you are having a heart attack after you take this, which is a pure coincidence, we can give you the other boosters when you are in the ambulance.
How sure are you I will not have a heart attack again today, B?
Oh, we fully expect you to have another blood clot right away. from the ambulance and driver is already sitting in the ambulance with the engine running. There are four EMTs waiting outside the room for you to have a heart attack. But this booster is completely 100% safe. I will be much better off getting it than if you went without. Everyone getting ready to help you with your myocardic tears is completely just a coincidence. Now please roll up that sleeve.
I do not want to drop out of college, but I am really tired of accidentally getting heart attacks, blood clots, and COVID after every single gene therapy.
Some even if you drop out, your life expectancy is completely down. We can tell because we implanted your microchip a while back too. Lies Nick have been done hooked you up, a big boy.
I am just wondering how every single time it is a coincidence that I get a heart attack right after a booster and go to the hospital every single time. Yet all the staff is just ready for me to have heart problems right now. I feel like Charlie Brown and you are Lucy trying to get me to kick a football.
That is a great story, son. Now I need my money. You need a booster. Roll up that sleeve so we can get you to the hospital and I can get the next student in here to get their gene therapies and we can get their ambulance ready. We already reserved you a bed at the hospital. Which is just a pure coincidence. I love giving gene therapies.
Alright, so that was Jamar.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was a good one because it's true. But the sad thing is people still aren't figuring out why they had the clotting issue after they got their booster.
No, they're laughing at everybody that won't get the gene therapy and then they have blood clots and go to the hospital and they say it's better than what it could have been because yeah. It could have been much worse if they didn't get it, the gene therapies.
What was really funny is when it's not funny that the man died, okay? But
yeah.
What they said after the fact was funny is it's like the man died and they were like, oh, you know, with COVID. And they were like, it would have been so much worse if he hadn't had the vaccination. And it's like, how do you get worse than dead? I mean, please explain that to me.
The vaccine doesn't even, it doesn't do anything. They have no
data. Yeah, I brought Vito
no
in
data.
Here. I forgot to say something.
They have no data as to the efficacy of the shot. But yet they move at the speed of science, they claim. And to me, I mean, like I said, I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, and but science does not move quickly. It's a process. And this vaccine, quote unquote, is not a vaccine. This is something that it's evil. That's all I'm gonna say. That's my opinion.
Oh, I don't think it's an opinion, but I understand.
You know, people are dying from this. Proof it's going to be even worse, and I do believe if Deagle is right with what their projections are, I think that they're going to have to cover up the mass death from these shots with some type of a disaster, and I think that disaster is going to be a nuclear strike.
I completely agree with you on that. They are setting us up for depopulation.
Something,
and
like I said, it's just not right. How things are going. People are dropping dead, and they're ignoring it. I mean, New York City. I listen to ABC Radio on my phone on the app, and New York City is all of a sudden seeing an increase. In COVID cases, they're asking people to wear masks now more. So what's next? Everybody's got to get vaccinated? Again, the woman from Pfizer said, we don't know what the vaccine is.
Yeah, we don't know what it's going to do. It wasn't tested. that there's mass death, which is just a coincidence, but we're still going to recommend everybody get it.
Well, yeah. Pfizer just admitted, they just admitted that it doesn't provide immunity. Yeah.
And the fact checkers will say, no, it's missing content, let's just say. And that's exactly if I'm not mistaken, that's what V said the other day, was missing content.
Which is BS.
Well, and then you also have the scams, which I have, they still say on the box that it does not protect you against COVIDs, but they'll tell you, the scam wearers will tell you that's the best thing to protect themselves is something that will tell you on the package that it does not protect you.
Yeah, I mean, might as well skyrocket, you know, if they were writing it in the sky, people would believe it. Yeah, look, it just says it right there. They put it up in the air. Look, the vaccine saves lives when it doesn't do anything. It does not save anything.
Oh, it saves the lives of the TV show host who might be unemployed.
Yeah, because they're all Pfizer pays for a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, so it's saving their lives. They're not just specifying whose lives it is that they're saving, but they're saving Moderna employees' lives, and they're saving the celebrities that endorse it.
They put profits ahead of human lives. What?
There's no ethics there. There's no ethics there. There's no transparency.
So,
there's no honesty.
I have to jump in here. Because Vito, I don't know how busy you are, but if you want to stick around, Candace, our co-host, is leaving for the night, and I have a guest. So I have George Barnett joining us here right after we take a commercial timeout. His website is voteforbarnett.com. So I need
what's
to...
What's he running for and where?
Magistrate in the state of Kentucky, so he's running for magistrate. So I need to take a commercial and bring him in.
Yeah, man.
All right, so Candace, have a good night, I guess. If you want to stick around, great, but you already told me you were leaving, so I don't expect you to stay, but I got to take my break.
Take your break.
All right. All right, I'll see everybody on the other side with George Barnett here coming up.
You got it.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State. And what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop. Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny.
Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels.
Freak, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up. How quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flawed, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Gentleman named George Barnett, who's running for magistrate in Kentucky for Christian County, and I want to hear more about this because someone that's been endorsed by Rand Paul has to be a friend of mine here. So, Mr. Barnett, thank you for joining us today, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm adequate here. Thank you for joining us. So, what inspired you to run for magistrate?
Well, it's a long story, but as I was sitting around the TV watching Obama and throwing my shoe at it and saying words I possibly couldn't say on you know, TV or radio, my wife said, either shut up or get involved. So I said, okay, I can do that. And when I started looking around, you know, not being politically active at all, and started saying, well, I can't run for governor, you know, I can't run for senator, I can't run for, you know, dog catcher, but what can I do? And I got looking and said, hey, I've got a Democratic magistrate representing me, and I never even heard of the guy before. So, you know, that's when I got involved with the Republican Party and started working my way up through the ranks, if you will, and decided to run against him.
So being part of a magistrate means that you get to control a bunch of the purse strings, I guess, when it comes to funding.
That is correct. The magisterial position, most people know what a mayor and a city council is. Well, here in Kentucky, in the county, they have what they call a judge executive, which is the same function of a mayor. And they have the magistrate, which is kind of like the city council person. And so, yeah, we do control the budget, the funding, the sheriff's department, the jail, you know, cemeteries, memorials, conservation, flood control, you know, all the stuff you would think of if you're outside of a city, regulations, you know, liquor sales, all that type of stuff.
All right. And just a heads up here, Vito sometimes co-hosts with me. He's a truck driver, so he can't commit to a show fully. And if you heard a blinker, it means he's turning left.
Okay.
So, Vito, was that a left turn or a right turn?
Proof, that was a hazard. I just have to walk around the truck for a minute. I'll be right back. I'm going to put you on hold.
All right. Yeah, I was just wondering here because during the break, I thought that was like an alarm clock, like somebody's timing me on the commercial break. So I just had to remember what that was.
I was all wondering, right, so, I'm like, who is driving right now?
I always forget to tell whoever's on the phone that when Vito is filling in for somebody, he might be on the road. So obviously he can't run a show and have a switchboard if he's driving, but he can sit in and do commentary and such. So,
well, working on talking on the phone with truckers all day, I'm kind of used to that sound, so I knew what it was instantly.
Yeah. So this would be like a full-time gig, I guess. So what are some of the pressing issues that you want to put a stop to funding on in Kentucky?
Well, it's not so much I want to put a stop to funding right here in our general area. Our sheriff's department, for example, Christian County here is the second geographically largest area in Kentucky. And
okay.
We have a sheriff's department that only has 18 full-time people here. If you think they're running 24/7, handling calls, you know, doing domestic disturbances, everything a sheriff's department does, they're really woefully understaffed. And we
wait,
and current
you said
Democratic,
18 as in 1/8, as in less than 20 people?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, that's
yep.
That's an issue, but
a low number of people.
It sounds like that's what somebody like John Fetterman might like.
Well, I'm sure he would, and the guys we got are really good guys. We just need more of them. So
okay,
that's one of my platform items is funding the sheriff's department and getting them up to speed for, you know,
hey,
where they can actually give us full protection.
I'm just in shock that with an area your size that you have exactly 18 full-time staff. So the county believes that they can execute properly with a bunch of part-timers or seasonal people, or how are you guys running out there? Because it doesn't sound like it's running well.
Well, I'm not an expert on the sheriff's department by any means, but I do know they need
right.
additional help, and that's what
okay.
I'm trying to, you know, give it to them. And that's one of my, you know, platform planks, if you will, as we're going into this to fully fund the sheriff's department. And also on a more of a secondary thing, our first responders and making sure they've got the right equipment. Our radio systems here are antiquated, analog. You know, sometimes they have issues. They don't talk to the other departments. They don't talk to the state police. There's, you know, some safety issues here where people have been pinching pennies and not wanting to spend the money to get the law enforcement and our first responders and the fire departments all on the same playing page, if you will. And that's
and,
safety. It's not only our safety, it's their safety too.
I know people that have graduated from EMT school recently, and they get hired on as an entry-level EMT, and they're starting out at $14 an hour, but the local Chick-fil-A starts people out at $17 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue.
Well, salary is one thing, but then giving them the right equipment is another thing too. And
absolutely.
Making sure that the equipment we give them or, you know, enable them to be safe as they're doing their job, trying to be, you know, work for us.
Right. And so you said there's what, 8 people in the county that would be considered on this executive team?
Yeah, there are 8, you know, in Kentucky. There's several different ways you can set it up, but the majority of them have a judge executive, and each county is divided into 8 districts. And our current setup is we have 3 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and the judge executive or mayor is a Democrat, and he's been in office for 29 years, and the guy I'm running against has been in office for 24 years. So, you know, it's time for change.
Wow. I didn't know mayors
or
people in those departments can be there for that long. I guess there's no term limits there.
No term limits on the local stuff. You know, mayors only serve 2 terms, but as far as the magistrates and the judge executives, there's no term limits on them.
Okay.
How many residents in the county?
Well, the entire county has got 72,000 people in it. Hopkinsville is the major city. It's got 33,000 roughly in it.
Now, the county, do they have, the towns have their own local police, or the county?
Yes, they have. Yes, the city of Hawkinsville has their own police department, which is completely separate funding. The city funds them.
And the county fills in whenever they need help or whatever.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
I didn't quite catch that. But
yeah, Beto's a retired police officer, so he can answer or ask questions like that either way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I came from New York City, so that we had the police department there in 2007.
Yeah, I spent 8 years in upstate New York, so I'm kind of familiar with upstate, and used to go down to 111 Wall Street all the time for Citibank when I was working for them. And if I never go back to New York City again, I'll be perfectly happy.
I don't know when the last time you were there, but believe me, it has changed. I can tell you that right now.
No, I've got a lot of friends still up there, and they keep me informed. It was pretty bad when I was there, and that's why I moved back to Kentucky to raise my family.
Yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah,
seems like craziness has followed us down.
If I never go back, I'm okay too.
Yeah, people that hasn't been there don't understand that. But anyway, we're going off topic.
Yeah. So, how did you get Rand Paul's endorsement?
Well, I've been involved with the Republican Party here, you know, for several years now, and I'm here. I'm the vice chair of our party here in Christian County, and working with Rand and some of his people as they go through the reelection process here in Western Kentucky and staying involved with some of the district politics that are here. I was also a delegate to the National Convention in 2016, and so, you know, you start hanging out with these type things, you start rubbing shoulders, and you meet Rand and some of Rand's staff. Our chair of our Christian County Republican Party actually works for Rand as a field representative. So, you know, we got some contact with the Rand Paul campaign and Rand himself.
Yeah, I've had Ron on my show a long time ago, and I got to meet Rand once. I'm in Las Vegas. I did Freedom Fest once, and I got to meet him, but I didn't interview him for the show, but he seemed like good people, and I supported him originally in 2020 before I jumped on the Trump train. He was my choice at the primary.
Yeah, Ray is a very down-to-earth guy. He's really easy to talk to. He's intelligent. I mean, he's just a very enjoyable guy to spend time with. Not that I spent a lot of time with him, but you know, just being around it's enjoyable.
I really like him in the Senate, but and I would support him very much if he ran for president. I just don't think right now that he might be like the third or fourth best candidate, but I don't think that he would be the person that everybody would be fawning over to be a president.
No, the timing's bad for him right now. 4 years or 8 years down the road, if he's still involved and interested, you know, he might be able to make a bigger splash. But between Trump and DeSantis, he would have to, you know, get in line behind them, in my opinion.
I agree. That's where I'm going. So while we're here, if you don't mind, if I can talk just one other tidbit on other Kentucky politics, what is it going to take to get Mitch McConnell out?
Well, somebody to actually run against him that is more Trump-like and has a statewide name. Once that happens, I think he'll be gone.
Because I just can't believe that it would be that hard to even loosely mention that you like Trump, and people would gravitate towards that. I just can't believe that Moscow Mitch still has a following.
Mitch has deep roots into the political establishment of Kentucky, and to pry him out of that is going to take a seismic shock here in the state to get him out. I think the state is getting closer to being ready for that, and you know, he's definitely will be challenged in the primaries whenever they come around. But again, I mean, he's the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room right now in Kentucky.
Yeah, and once you're 80 years old, it's just not the same. And I think he's approaching 80, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. I mean, the step's not there. I mean, the drive is still there, but I don't think he's you know, he should retire. But whether he does or not, I have no idea.
No, I know. I just don't want to see somebody, and I don't care how good they are, but you're 88, you're 90, you're 92 years old. Even if I like you, it's got to be time to say thank you, but it's time to move on. And I don't know if people get it.
After 40 years or whatever in the Senate, you know, Pelosi needs to go, Schumer needs to go, all the old-timers, they just need to leave and get new blood in there across the board. The elite have just taken over, and I don't really understand how they continue to do that, but, you know, they somehow pull it off.
Right, and it just gets me how you can have, like, a Chuck Schumer that might get 19% approval rating, but they win re-election for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
you wonder,
like,
who's counting the ballots, doesn't
it? The magistrates that you're running against there, you said someone was there 29 years and somebody that was there 25 years. And if everybody says this guy sucks, but yet they keep winning.
Well, in our case here in Christian County, you know, the Democratic Party has held sway for years and years and years. It's only been in the last 12 years that the Republican Party has really managed to break the hold of the Democratic Party here. You know, first it started at the national level, then at the state, and now at the local level. It's the first time we had a Republican mayor in a million years. You know, we have a Republican sheriff for the first time ever. The city council of Hopkinsville is now a 50-50 split, so it's almost Republican controlled. Just a lot of the offices are now, especially this election cycle, we're really hoping, for at least in the Christian County area, to put the nail in the Democratic majority here and take control of all levers of government. It's taken us a long time to get to this point.
Do you feel, though, when you're out talking to people in running for your magistrate bid, that it just feels like the American people don't want to go down the communist road, and they're looking for a change, some of these people are... do you feel that there are people that are really sad that they voted for Brandon?
Well, I haven't found anybody that fessed up to voting for Brandon yet, to be honest about it. No, I've talked to a lot of Democrats that just say, they're going to vote all Democrat, irregardless of who they are. You know, that's just ingrained in a lot of people here. It's been generational Democrats. And I've run across some that are just true liberals, you know, with the rainbow hair and the 20 flags and all this other stuff running around out there. But in general, here, most of the Democrats I've talked to are only voting for the Democrats because they either know them or they're friends with them or they go to church with them or they play golf with them or something along those lines. And they don't really think of them as being good for the county or good for the state or good for the area. They just think of them as being a friend. They don't want to vote against their friend. But in general, most people I talk to say, you know, let's go Brandon. I'm voting red across the board. You know, I'm voting straight Democrat.
See, and I don't know about Kentucky politics too much because as far as the Senate goes, there's nobody right now that's going to beat Rand Paul. And so you see in a lot of these other big races across the country where the Democrats are literally running away from reporters and refuse to do any debates, don't talk to anybody. It's like they're trying the Brandon campaign in the basement strategy because they know, just like you were talking about how people said that my grandfather was a Democrat, my parents were Democrats, my kids are Democrats, my grandkids are Democrats, so I'm going to vote Democrat. You can be in California, George, and Governor Grusom will say, I'm going to write a bill that says I am going to hire police that will kill every third door they knock on. The Democrats would still get 40% of the vote at minimum.
Yes, they would. But here in Kentucky, one thing for your audience to know is that last month was the first time that statewide the Republicans surpassed the Democrats in registration, because Kentucky's always been a Democratic state. And they finally have passed them by across the state, not by a large margin, but we are, Republicans are now the dominant party. And it just seems like every time Joe Biden opens his mouth, more people change their registration.
Well, it just
it's
gets
a very, very interesting phenomena
there.
To watch.
Oregon, they're talking about the Oregon governor race looks like the Republican is slightly ahead, and that's Oregon.
Isn't that amazing? People, law and order. Yeah, law and order is raising their head. Even in the Colorado Senate race, I understand that O'Day fellows might be making a comeback here.
Yeah. And you got Baldock in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we need to make sure the people count the votes are the ones actually counting the votes, and not making votes up and sticking them in there.
So you haven't had that problem in Kentucky, have you? Like in Michigan, where they board up the place and they will have police literally escort people out because they're not they're a poll watcher, but they're not a registered Democrat poll watcher.
Yeah, it's not that bad. We've had some shenanigans just here locally in our primaries that we have some lawsuits pending on, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, because that's what worries me, because I get to watch all these national races, and you see people that literally don't campaign, but because they're a Democrat, they're up by 6 points. And then the Republicans are basically kicking butt, and it's like the Trump versus Brandon again, where you can have 3,000 people come out and see Carrie Lake, but Katie Hobbs won't do any speaking engagements. But depending on what newspaper you're reading, she's ahead.
Exactly, it just doesn't make sense, but. You know, I saw a picture where somebody, and I can't remember what state it was, it might have been Arizona, where they were pulling up to the voting thing and just stuffing the ballots in.
Oh, yeah, so,
it's voting integrity.
The guy wore a mask and gloves, and he hit his license plate.
Yep, voting integrity is key. Here in Kentucky, we've got fairly decent rules. And, by the way, the Secretary of State also endorsed my campaign, too, here in Kentucky.
Oh, wow, you can see that.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there, too. But we've got some very nice, I would think, I don't want to use progressive, but better, easier to vote voting rules, but at the same time, they're still, you know, you know who's voting.
Oh, I can definitely respect that. Yeah, in Arizona, they've tried some funny stuff. You get the poll watchers that give people Sharpies and tell them they're only allowed to vote in Sharpie. Whereas the rules are you cannot vote with a Sharpie, and if you vote in Sharpie, your vote is thrown out.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
what they did in 2020 in heavy Republican areas. They said, no, you can't bring your own pen. You have to use our Sharpie.
And then they throw out the votes.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. I hadn't heard that one before.
So yeah, it sounds like your area at least won't be that desperate.
No, it won't be that. We're not that far gone yet.
But I just feel like in my heart that I know that communism is literally one election away, but I just don't think that we as Americans are there yet. I think we're close. But I still think that there's the, and I'm looking at your picture, and I'm just guessing that you're part of us over the age of 50 people. I'm in that now.
Yep.
I just turned 50 a couple weeks ago, and you have the Generation Z, the under 30s, that are just so annoyed and angry at people older than them because we just don't understand communism.
Well, when I was living in upstate New York, I had a lot of people tell me that, you know, communism works as long as you got the right people. The reason communism hasn't worked is because they haven't got the right people. If they were in charge, communism would work. And I told them they were out of their freaking minds. But that's only in, only in upstate has anybody ever told me that, up in the Rochester area.
So, yeah, the only way, in my opinion, communism would work would be either heaven or some kind of utopia land where nobody ever would have any greed or want more than what they can put in their pocket.
Well, I mean, Soviet Union gave it a good try, and it just collapsed upon itself because humans are humans. You know, our Constitution is the best document for living in capitalism in human history. And
right.
People are going to have to step up and fight for that. And, they, and as they say, you know, the tree of liberty is watered with blood every now and then. And as much as we don't want to go down the violence path, if people push us to it, we will stand and fight.
Hey, to be honest, it's surprising that it lasted this long.
Because even, I don't know about other places, but in Kentucky, even the Democrats will stand up and support our country and our Constitution. They're not that far gone. We just have differences of opinions on a lot of things, but they're still Americans. In other areas of the country, well, there are a few here that aren't even Americans anymore. In other areas of the country, you know, they just hate America, period. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about anything. They just want power and they want to destroy us.
Well, why are they not packing their U-Hauls up and driving to Havana, Cuba?
Well, that's real communism.
Yeah, and they don't even have to convert everybody. They can go and everybody's used to it. They should embrace it. They should be down in Miami, and whenever a raft comes up from people in Cuba, they should be taking it and saying, thank you, and getting themselves down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should be doing if they love communism so much.
I think one of the miscalculations that the Democrats have had is with the Hispanic population coming in, and once they get settled and they get a job, they become citizens, they turn into Republicans because they don't want, you know, lawlessness. They don't want socialism. You know, they want their kids to grow up free. They want their kids to have the same opportunity as everybody in the world does. So, you know, the Democrats are all very unhappy that the Hispanic people are now voting Republican rather than Democrat, and they just don't understand why.
Hey, well, then maybe they'll do something about the immigration.
Well, I think they probably will.
That's one way to solve it.
Hope so.
So let me ask you, though, how are the schools out there? So does your job as magistrate have anything to do with certain projects of schools? Like, can you say that you're not willing to pay for drag queen story time, for an example?
No, in Kentucky, the magistrates are completely separate. We have a school board and we have a school tax, and the school board handles all that. I know here locally we're having a lot of problems with philosophical differences with the school board that are out there. And we're trying to get some more conservative members. The school boards are nonpartisan races here, but there's two of the five that have. We've got two conservatives running for the board this time around. Hopefully they'll get it and can put a stop to some of these shenanigans that are going on. You know, they have an insatiable amount of greed for money. You know, they haven't seen a dollar they don't love that they can't spend on something.
Yeah, greed, money, or power, which is associated with greed either way, but it seems like that's the modus operandi, I suppose, is I either want money or power.
Mm-hmm. Well, our local school board and the school officials running the show have really dropped the ball on a lot of things here, but, you know, that's a different conversation.
No, that is true. I just want to make sure their education system, and I realize that I might be outvoted on some things, but what I see now is just pathetic, and we can do better. And we should be doing
out on the campaign trail. I talk to teachers a lot, and most of the teachers are rank and file. They love their job. They want to teach the kids. But the administrations and the policies that are given to them to do that are just stupid. You know,
oh, I understand.
One lady I was talking to, she's a new hire as a math teacher, and she goes in to teach math, and she's not allowed to teach math for the first 6 weeks of the year. She's told to give them a picture and ask them to interpret the picture. Well, you can interpret the picture any way you want to. You won't get wrong, and everybody has great grades. And it took the first 6 weeks before she got to the first time where she could actually teach, like, 2 + 2 = 4 real math. You know, and that's our school system. No wonder China's beating us.
It's just hard to believe that we're intentionally failing ourselves.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but I guess, you know, I'm just not sophisticated enough to realize what I don't know.
It's like you hit yourself with a hammer every hour, and then you're wondering why you have a concussion. That's just what it feels like. Like whether it's the oil drilling, that just gets me where under no circumstances can we have any oil drilling, and I don't even know if they even drill in Kentucky. Very little. You go beg the Saudis for oil, and then you offer Iran the ability to have their own nuclear bombs. You are willing to make concessions with Venezuela when you could be dominant in the world if you just opened up the spigots, but can't do that. We have to be poor.
Yeah. Eastern Kentucky has a lot of coal over there, and they kind of get a bad rap for their coal that they have over here. But here in Western Kentucky, you know, Kentucky's one of those long, skinny states that goes from the mountains all the way to the Mississippi. So over in Western Kentucky, we're, you know, by highway 8 or 9 hours from those guys. So we don't have the same geography, the same anything. There is a little, you know, a little oil around here, nothing to shake a stick at. A few oil wells pumping, but, you know, nothing significant.
I have to admit, you're the first magistrate I've ever interviewed, so I tried my best to study
be
last night about what a magistrate even does, so I apologize if... it's kind of different, because I'm in Las Vegas, and I understand, and I interview candidates from all over the United States all the time. It's I have a nationwide show, and I'm looking like, okay, magistrate, I'll take it. He seems like a really good dude, and he's endorsed by Rand Paul. I definitely want this guy, but what does he do? So I apologize if I don't have the perfect questions, because I've never interviewed a magistrate.
No, that's fine. Well, that's fine. Well, let me just give you a little magisterial history then. You know, Kentucky was part of Virginia, and in 1792, you know, that's when Kentucky split off and became their own state. As you know, Virginia has been around for a long time, and it was magistrate justice of the peace. And the magistrate, you know, that came from England. And so the magistrate actually had judicial powers in Kentucky up until 1975. They had a magisterial court. They heard disputes, you know, the traditional thing of my pig got in your field, ate your cabbage, what are you going to do for me? So they did that all the way up. They had magisterial courts here in Kentucky, and you traveled around and heard things from the people up until 1975. Then the Kentucky Constitution was amended to remove that judicial power, if you will, from the magisterial position. So then the magisterial position became more of your city councilman out in the county. That's kind of just a very brief thing.
Okay.
And I think the further west you go, I think you actually get away from the magisterial title. And I don't know what you use, maybe commissioners, maybe? I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, because I was trying to figure out how the budgets, how 8 people control a county budget, where we would have maybe county commissioners, and I don't know if that's an equal or just different
titles. Kentucky can have, you know, it's up to the county, but Kentucky can have commissioners. You can have 3 commissioners in a county and a I can't remember what the judge, it's no longer called judge executive, it's a different title for that person, you know, King Commissioner maybe, I don't know. And you can do that, but I think most counties don't do that. They split themselves into 8 segments and have the judge executive and 8 magistrates. And
okay.
Property taxes and alcohol taxes and taxes on alcohol are primary methods of raising the funds to fund the government.
Okay. So how are the property taxes out there in comparison? Like, I'm in Las Vegas.
Kentucky's
so
very low.
They're not bad here.
Yeah, they're very low. If you go across the state into Tennessee, which has got a different taxing system, the property taxes are like 4 times as high, maybe 5. But here in Kentucky, they're very low. You know, Kentucky's in the midst of changing its taxation to get away from income tax and just change it more to a consumption tax and trying to move to the, like a Tennessee model where you don't really have an income tax. That really hurts Kentucky.
So they're talking about getting rid of a state tax perhaps?
Yeah, they've started down the path. It's already reduced our income tax by about, you know, I guess about 20%, I believe, in some of the numbers I've seen. But there, you know, it takes a while to actually transition from one method to another, just to make us more competitive with Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah, going the opposite direction, California, I believe their state tax is over 19%. And
yeah,
that's just their state tax.
California's insane. It's like New York, it's insane.
No, and in comparison, not that I want to praise Russia, but how they do their taxes is you buy something that's not food, like you're buying a chair, you pay 15% value-added tax, a VAT tax, and that's it. There's no income tax. There's no state tax. There's no whatever. You're just paying your one-time 15%, and that's it. That's your tax.
Yeah, I think Europe uses VAT quite a bit. The only problem with VAT is you keep taxing the same thing over and over and over and over again every time it changes hands.
Right.
I guess if you're government, that's great because you just keep taxing it on. But if you're not the government, it's very painful.
Yeah, unless you, one of the things, I guess, that you can tax over and over and over again would be a used car.
Well, that's true.
How are you doing in the polls?
Well, there aren't any polls here for this particular race, but I'm feeling very confident from the response I'm getting as I'm knocking on doors.
Good.
My strategy is knock on every registered voter's door before the election, and I'm about two-thirds of the way through those, and my feet are killing me.
So, and that would make a good deal there because I'm sure not many people would have considered. I don't know what a magistrate is. I'm not going to research it. I'm just going to put a vote in. Whereas if they could put a face to it, they can at least say, "Hey, I remember that guy."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, door knocking and talking to the people is the best way to really get in touch with the constituents out there and see what they like, what they don't like, what they're thinking, and where their head's at. And when you start losing touch with the people that put you in the office, that's what gets you in trouble.
And that's why you get people that have been there for 42 years and they're most corrupt, because the longer you're there, the less in touch you are with the people that you worked for, in essence. And the more
right.
you are in touch with the lobbyists, because they know... The lobbyists know if I just give them a certain amount of money that they'll be good for whatever I need to do. So
yep.
and
they get co-opted into the system.
The politics wasn't supposed to be a full-time job.
It's not. In Kentucky, it's not. You know, if you can look at some of the studies done in state legislatures across the country where when they turn into full-time legislative sessions that run all year round, where they're full-time people, those taxes and everything else, regulations go out the roof because they got to do something, so they do it. You know, in Kentucky, the state meets every year, but every other year they only meet for a month, and the next year they meet for like 3 months, and that's it.
Mm.
So they're very limited in what they can do. They got a time frame. The only problem with that is during the pandemic, when the governor went nuts, you know, the legislature couldn't get into session to actually rein him in from all the emergency crap that he was doing. So when they finally did get in, you know, they trimmed his wings a little bit, but it took forever waiting for the cycle to come around for them to get back into session.
So how crazy did it get for you guys when it was with COVID? Because we have a Democrat governor, and he... once the U.S. truckers went on strike in D.C., that's when everything magically lifted almost everywhere.
Yeah, well, he's sending the state police to churches to keep people out. You know, you had to wear a mask and go to the bathroom. I mean, it was just draconian, silly stuff across the board.
But there's people that want to bring that back because they never stopped wearing scams. And they get their gene therapies, and they're just panicked when they see people without wearing them. I'm sorry,
yeah.
But you can't govern the 95% of the public to capitulate to whatever the 5% are fearing.
Yeah, plus the paper mask didn't do any good anyway. The viruses went right through it.
Yeah,
once you had an N95 mask, you were just kind of, you know, wasting your time with a mask.
Yeah, but even then, you're not supposed to be where the job of an N95 mask is not to replace your breathing system, though.
Oh, that's correct. That is correct.
Yeah, because you have prolonged use of N95 masks, you're going to have some lung issues because our bodies were not meant to live inside those things. Yeah, you can put it on for an hour or two, like if you're spray painting or cleaning asbestos, but it was not meant to wear for 10 to 12 hours at a job 6 days a week.
You know, I'm just kind of glad that the COVID nightmare, if you will, is behind us. I try not to think about a lot of that, to be honest with you. I'm ready to move forward.
I agree, but Biden's just extended the COVID emergency yesterday or Monday.
Yeah, I saw that. I can't imagine why he's doing it, but, you know, the Illinois governor's had COVID emergency extended through November 10th, right past the elections.
So that's a question I can ask you, I guess, in regards to Kentucky. And I have not seen it here yet being offered, but I know in a lot of cities they're talking about ending the cash bail. So...
that is not a topic of conversation here in Kentucky.
It
is?
You
know, people realize that it is not. It is not a topic of conversation here in Kentucky.
Okay.
It is not. Because people realize that criminals do bad things, and when they get put in jail, you know, you might need to keep them there for a while until their hearings are set or they go to court or whatever. And if you just let them out, they're just going to go do it again or do whatever else they do or disappear.
I'm just in the dark here, Georgia, as far as why people think it's a great idea that if somebody was involved as an accomplice in a murder or they just carjacked somebody and sent four people to the hospital that they don't even have to get jail time. You can just let them go, and the guy will even – the criminal will even tell the cop, look, I'm going to do it again in an hour. And all you could do is say, well, I'll be here to write this up again.
Well, from the way I understand it, if you look at the people like George Soros and some of his groups that are putting these DAs and legislations in for this, their intent is to destroy society. And as they're doing a pretty good job of it in all these places. So, again, if you don't want civilization and you don't want, you know, Western civilization to flourish, this is a good way to try to destroy it, have pure chaos and conflict in the streets.
So Would you feel that, and I don't think everybody's going to pack up and move to Hopkinsville anytime soon, but do you feel that, in cities such as yours, it would be safer to be in that kind of city as opposed to something a little bit bigger like Louisville or Lexington?
Well, it's going to depend on where you are in any city. In Hopkinsville, you know, even though it's a small city, there's crime, there's drugs, there's bad people. They're out there. There are law enforcement, like I say, for, at least on the sheriff's side, is locally underfunded. They don't even have a drug unit. That, you know, that's one thing that we would like to get established. But even in the city, you know, there's budgetary concerns, and so only so much you can do with people running around coming through here. Now, we're right off of I-24 corridor, so we get a lot of people from Chicago coming through Hopkinsville for one some reason or another. I don't really understand it. On the way to Nashville, they stop here on the way to Nashville. And, you know, when you start having some trouble with people, 9 times out of 10, you find out they're from somewhere else. They're not from here locally. And Chicago seems to be the common thread of a lot of people stopping here for whatever reason. Maybe they know we're not as sophisticated in, what we do, or we're just simpler, you know, smaller place that they think they can get away with stuff in. But they get caught, and they do their time. So to answer your question, you know, I don't think any place is idyllic. You know, Louisville's got some great places to live in. Lexington's got some great places to live in. There's also places in both those cities. You're not going to catch me going anywhere near them, daylight or dark.
Yeah.
When McDonald's has got drive, you know, bars on the drive-thru, you know, it's pretty bad.
You have bars on your drive-thru?
Some do. It depends on what part of town you're in. None in Hopkinsville, but in Louisville and Lexington.
Okay. I was going to say, that I haven't seen yet.
Oh, well, if you're in Las Vegas, I'm surprised they don't have those.
Now, there's a couple neighborhoods where pizza places will not deliver after dark.
Okay.
That's it. I don't see... yeah, I don't see bars on drive-thrus. That would be crazy.
No, but in general, Kentucky, they're law-abiding people, and they want to work hard. One of the issues we have here in Christian County, Hopkinsville area, is economic development. You know, we're behind the curve on economic development, and that's another thing that a new Republican administration would want to change from the county magisterial area, is to work hard to get new jobs coming in here. We're right next to Clarksville in Nashville, Tennessee, which is statistically one of the largest, fastest growing areas in the country. But yet we're doing absolutely nothing to tap into that growth, tap into that money that's flying around down there. That needs to change, and that mindset needs to change.
It's crazy to me how certain cities, if they played their cards right, they could pull businesses to come there from Chicago and Detroit if they just had somebody that had half a brain. That would be able mm-hmm. to negotiate that, because you have such big crime numbers in Detroit and Chicago and even Memphis to an extent, that they are looking for new homes.
Well, Hopkinsville itself has a housing shortage right now. I don't really know why. I hadn't quite figured it out, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with the expansion of the Nashville-Clarksville corridor, where Clarksville in that area is really starting to be more of a bedroom community for the Nashville metropolitan area. And they're just, people can't afford the homes down there anymore, so they're coming up this way and buying them up. Now we just need to bring the jobs up here so, you know, the people don't have to drive to Nashville. We're 70 miles from Nashville, by the
way.
Okay. So it's an hour drive to get to the Nashville area.
Yeah, I'm all for just trying to pull businesses out of these used-to-be metropolis cities and putting them in smaller places and having other cities become the new big thing in the next century. Because why would you want to keep a business in San Francisco when you have literally people that can crap on the in the parking lot and you're driving your car all in it and you get mugged on the way into work. And businesses,
exactly,
they realize they're moving because they don't want their employees to be mugged while trying to punch in.
Well, if you think about, you know, going back to New York and say in the 1950s, New York at that time had 70 of the largest companies in the world headquartered there. And by the time the turn of the century came, they were down to 3 or something like that because everybody bailed because of the taxation. And, you know, the same thing's going to be happening in California. You know, I've worked for a couple of companies that have pulled out of California just because they don't want to deal with all the rules and regulations going on there. And in the Nashville area, you know, there's been several companies relocating to Nashville out of even both New York and California, moving their headquarters to Nashville. I mean, Oracle's opening up a campus with over 18,000 people there. I think it's 18,000 in the Nashville area. So,
yeah, there's a
it's a huge destination place.
There's a ton of jobs that went from Silicon Valley in Northern California down to a suburb of Phoenix, Arizona called Chandler.
Yeah, fleeing California.
Yeah.
But the Hopkinsville area and the Christian County area is well poised to actually get some of those jobs if we had the right people actually going out and recruiting and saying, hey, come up here. We got a good quality of life. We got decent schools. We got decent recreational facilities. Taxes aren't that bad. Property taxes are next to nothing. Land between the lakes is 30 miles to the west. That's a big recreational area for boating, in case you didn't know what that was. And, you know, great hunting, great fishing, just great outdoor stuff around here in Western Kentucky. Come on up. Climate's not that bad. But we're not pushing
it. Yeah, like I said, I'm just thinking in my head how easy it would be if you had the right person just to tap into Chicago and Indianapolis and Detroit and just show them how you can conduct business in Kentucky and have a better quality.
Exactly. I mean, we've got the power, we've got the rail, we've got the water, we've got the interstate infrastructure. You know, we've got good climate. There's airports are all around us. We've got everything anybody needs here. We just need to get the people, you know, to go out and beat the bushes and find these guys and bring them in. Then we could get them.
No, I get it. Yeah, we've had you for almost an hour here, so I don't want to overstay my welcome with you. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Is there anything that I may have missed? Like I said, I've never interviewed a magistrate. I was very curious on the position, and I feel like I've learned a lot today.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. I've never done anything like this before, and I was trying to be somewhat entertaining to your audience as I'm talking and just not focus on the race itself. So hopefully, you know, this will help your ratings go up.
Well, and it'll help you. You could say you've done an interview, I guess. I don't know how many interviews you've done on being a magistrate, but it's nice to get out there and get your name out there at least.
Well, it is, and I enjoy talking to you guys, too. So I appreciate you having me on.
All right, well, even after the election, win or lose, if you ever wanted to come back on, I'd love to have you. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Love to do it sometime.
So
we can talk more Kentucky politics.
Plug your website.
VoteForBarnett.com?
Yeah, just take a minute and plug it. Yeah, let everybody know what's on there, what they can find, et cetera.
Well, it's just on my website. It's basically just a thumbnail sketch of myself, where I came from, my family, the kids, you know, where I'm at, my education, my business experience that I have. I've done a lot of different things through my life and career. And, you know, from nuclear waste cleanup sites to working on Chinese penetration at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to banking, to insurance. So I've done a lot of things throughout my career. And it lists all that stuff on there, and it also gives you a link to send me money. which is always good, because it costs a lot of money to run a campaign, even a magistrate's campaign.
Oh, I understand that. All right, so vote for Barnett.com. Hopefully it will get you some traffic. I'll go ahead and get to my top of the hour commercial break here. George, it's been a pleasure having you. Come back anytime.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you all later.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
All right, so, Vito, I am going to grab a timeout, so it'll be me and you after the break if you still want to be on.
You got it. Absolutely.
All right. All right, we'll be right back, everyone.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birth and partner, and I just got our new Wisnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Tamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Wisnica Freedom microchip. And since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip, I jumped on the Wisnica join.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Wisnica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Wisnica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Remember when no one thought that 1 year from the election, the Dow would be up 28.5%.
We've got very strong growth, a terrific employment market.
We have no inflation, virtually no inflation.
Wages climbed 2.7%. The unemployment rate matched the 50-year low.
Oil prices dropping today, tumbling more than 3%.
President Trump's policies, tax cuts, deregulation, opening energy.
Whether you're a blue-collar or white-collar worker, he's taking care of all collars.
He is rebuilding this economy
in ways experts say was never possible.
The Biden administration faces another crisis amid a growing...
This is not a pretty picture here at the pump. The price of gas increasing more than 6% over...
You're paying more for everything.
All right, so we made it back. Vito's here with us, filling in for Candace. So, What's the latest, Vito? I haven't given you some alone time yet today.
Do we know why the Prime Minister of England resigned today?
Sorry, I have a hard time hearing you.
Okay, hold on. Do you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, do we know why the Prime Minister of England resigned?
Yes, because she accepted payments from certain vaccine manufacturers that were considered a conflict of interest.
Wow. Holy moly. And you know there are politicians in this country that got their hand, their pockets filled with stocks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, her own party told her that she needs to go.
She's got
to
go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She had to leave. All right, well, that's good. Now, hopefully they'll find some another conservative to take her spot.
Yeah, but before she was even brought in, that people said that she was bad news anyway, so... I didn't expect that to work out that well. I'm surprised, though, that they got rid of her as fast as they did.
Yeah, absolutely. When I heard it today, I was like, what the hell's going on? But, you know, what are you going to do? And, you know, we have our problems in New York. I mean, Hochul, I'm telling you, the race is getting tighter and tighter between Hochul and Zeldin. I think Zeldin's going to pull it off. Really,
I
do believe he's going to pull it off, Poof.
I just honestly don't understand why people would vote for Hochul. But I guess, as we know, upstate New York is pro-Zeldin, Long Island is pro-Zeldin, and the Kathy Hochul, I think somebody said that Zeldin is getting 37% of Manhattan.
New York City. Yep, he's getting 37% vote in New York City. If he can get 40%, he's going to win.
37% will be interesting, though, because that may or may not be enough. I think 40 is the magic number. 37 is possible, but I'd like to see more.
Well, like I said, I really do think he's going to win. You know, the last commercial he did on her, you know, he did really slams her. And, She is just, you know, she's done nothing for the state. You know, she's like Gillibrand. You know, you've seen more of her now that she's up for re-election. But like with Gillibrand, once election is over and done with, she disappears. I mean, you know, no one has even seen. I have not seen or heard from her in quite a while up until the other day when they were saying that they should move some of the illegals who were coming to New York City to upstate New York. And she said no to that, what I heard. That's the first I've heard from her in quite a while.
Well, she needs votes, so that's the only time when certain people come out is it's election season. So,
well,
the
Schumer,
only time...
Schumer is running.
Yeah.
I had no
He's
idea that he was. That's what I heard. I had no idea.
No, I haven't heard anything about reelecting, and I didn't even know anybody was running against him.
Yeah, I like I said, the only one that I know is Hochul and the state attorney general. You know, I hope she loses, but I don't think she's going to lose.
I just can't believe
good
that
thing.
With all what's going on in New York City, that you would have all these diehard Democrats there that would still
Poof,
vote.
Poof, like you said, with Newsom, if he put a bill out there that he said he would sign, he would kill everybody that voted for him. People would still vote for him. And that's the honest to God truth. There are people who would, you know, look, Poof, I've said it before. If Adolf Hitler were running against Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler was a Democrat, there are Jews who would vote for him. Blindly, they could care less because Donald Trump is a monster. No, don't worry about what Hitler did. We forgive him or whatever. You know, he's not talking about us Jews. He's talking about other Jews. as my friend Ralph would tell me that his mother told him. Says, you know, the mother would say when they were in Germany, you know, they talk about killing us, and they're like, nah, they're not talking about us. They're talking about other Jews. Does it matter really? Does it matter what Jew they're talking about?
They're talking about
they're
other
kill whoever.
Jews.
They're talking about other Jews. That was insane. When he said that to me, I said, Ralph, you got to be kidding me. He says, Vito, I'm telling you right now. My mother was telling people they're talking about killing us. And there are some Jews out there who said they're talking about other Jews, not us. We voted for them. We put them in. Don't worry about it. Morons. Just morons.
And we haven't learned our lesson 80 years later.
No. No. No, 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 no.
Maybe...
No.
Maybe that's why 80 years the globalists try and get involved. Because every three or four generations that people don't remember history anymore.
Yeah, and this is what I do believe, that this is, that group trying to do what they couldn't do during World War II. Or at least advance, you know, further from what they did in World War II. I mean, look at Tulsi Gabbard. She came out and called Joe Biden Hitler. I was like, whoa.
No, it's nice to see her campaigning for Carrie Lake, though.
Yeah, well, I think Carrie Lake is going to win. She throws it right back at them. She hits them hard. And she hits them with nothing but facts. And they're not going to be able to silence her right now. And she's like you said, she could be a strong vice president and maybe even a president. You know, depending on how good she does in Arizona. Carrie Lake.
Okay, yeah. I was saying earlier, I think Tulsi Gabbard would make a good vice president under Trump.
That's what I heard. I heard that she might run as VP for Trump. We'll see.
Hey, she would be considered a good finalist. I don't know if she's the best candidate, but I would put her definitely in the top 10, maybe the top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what's the name up in North Dakota? Who's the governor?
South Dakota, Kristi Noem.
Yeah, Noem. She was doing good, but then I think with this COVID thing, I think she shot herself in the foot. You know, she was trying to put a lot of measures in, and the state legislature was blocking her from doing it. That's as I understand it.
So what about this AOC where she got shouted down in her own debate or her own town hall meeting or whatever?
Yeah, I think that was classic, but I think I'm not sure if that was someone who voted against her or someone who's basically telling her you're not doing enough. I couldn't get the gist of what that person was trying to convey, other than, you know, he was upset with her. You know, I mean, look, we're doing too much for illegals in the state, in the city, and, you know, they have to do something to get rid of them all. New York City is running out of cash. You know, these illegals, I mean, they're talking about 10 buses a day coming in, you know, full of illegals. You know, that's 500? That's about 50 people on a bus. That's about 500 a day. Where are we going to put them? They're already saying that about 26,000 of them can't support themselves. And,
are the buses still coming?
Yeah, buses are still coming. Not as big.
Oh, good.
Not as much, but they're still coming. You know,
I think, like what I was saying with George Barnett earlier, is that if all these illegals that were coming over were all voting Republican, you better believe that they would be fixing that border.
Oh, they would be putting alligators in those ravines that they had that separate Mexico and the U.S.
Yes,
you know those little streams. They would do everything. They would land.
Oh, they have piranhas out there. They'd have alligators.
Absolutely.
They would have electric eels out there. That they would put all kinds of stuff.
They would have snipers out there. They would kill them if they could. Believe you me.
Yes.
No, they're so fake. It's not funny. But they're doing.
Yeah, but they got exposed for being fake.
Well, exactly, yes, absolutely. You know, and we have people in the city who are suffering, and they are doing more for the illegals in the city than they are for the citizens.
I am very curious, though, how much voter fraud that they'll be able to get away with. Because in some of these areas, there is no way possible that someone like Carrie Lake loses.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. All those other elections many years ago, you know, someone was in the lead and, you know, something happened. Oh, well, look like Donald Trump, I still believe firmly in my heart, he won and they stole this from him. You know, Kemp is going to win in Georgia. He's up by four points. I don't know how he can't be up by more than, unless they're totally lying in the poll. You know,
that one has to be a lie. I think they're doing everything they can to help Stacey Abrams, but she is just not. She's not a strong
complete
candidate.
Idiot. No, she's an idiot. She's making the stuff look like more than something than what she is, and she is an idiot. You know, they have. she was talking about the sonogram machines, how the heartbeat sound is a manufactured sound, you know. Abortion is, she's the last one she said, abortion is tied to the economy.
Yeah, I'll play the clip. It's like 90 seconds long.
I could not
just ask you. You're running for governor of Georgia. I would assume, maybe incorrectly, but while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out, but we also have to talk about what a governor can do. A governor can address housing prices. A governor can address the cost of education. A governor can put money into the pockets of everyday hardworking Georgians instead of giving tax cuts to the wealthy. That's what I talk about on the trail, and that's what's resonating. But let's not pretend that women, half the population, especially those of childbearing age, they understand that having a child is absolutely an economic issue. It is only politicians who see it as simply another cultural conversation. It is a real biological and economic imperative conversation that women need to have.
Ms. Abrams, this is Eddie Glaude. I want, first of all, congratulations. We're both going to be celebrating.
So the talking head there was trying to help Stacey Abrams by reining her in, and she refused and doubled down.
Yep. I mean, she makes no sense in what she said.
How can you get with your voters and say that, see, we tripled the price of gas, but it's your fault because you had kids 12 years ago?
it makes no sense. It's just sheer insanity. I mean, listen, all she's worried about are the kids in schools now, so she can indoctrinate them all to her socialist Marxist agenda. And you know, there is nothing she's gonna do about fixing the prices of gasoline in her state unless they remove the gas tax. And I'm not even sure what Georgia's gas tax is. I know Pennsylvania is number one in the country. I'm just not sure about Georgia. They won't cut that out because that's a good revenue source.
But it's like Al Gore when he said every conversation in the world you could tie to climate change. And with her, it's like you could take anything in the world and turn it into an abortion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, speaking of climate change, look at what's going on in Alaska with those crabs disappearing. You know, they're saying it's climate change. But has anybody bothered to look? Maybe it has something to do with that nuclear reactor that has been leaking for, what, about 7 or 8 years now in Japan? You think finally it made its way across the Pacific Ocean to Alaska? Does anybody think of that? No.
No, I heard this from, I forget what news station it was, but due to climate change, it's expected to snow this year in Iowa. It
snows
every winter in Iowa.
Yeah. I was going to say, doesn't it get snow in Iowa? Exactly. That's like saying it might snow in New York this winter. Yeah, it might. Probably will.
Yeah, and it's due to climate change that it snows?
No.
What, is every day supposed to be 72 degrees everywhere in the world?
Would be nice. But that ain't happening. But they have us all thinking that by taxing us, that they're going to be able to change the weather. And they just cannot. It's impossible.
Well, technically, they do have weather weapons, but that's up to them. If there's a drought area, they have cloud seeding that they could do. Obviously, they debuted it to the world stage in 1996 2008 with the Beijing Games, the Summer Olympics.
Okay.
When
they actually did that?
Remember, they cleaned out all the smog and they made it rain for like 10 days straight.
Really? I did not know that. Oh, my God.
It might not have been 10 days, but they did make it rain to get the smog out of there.
Uh-huh. And I guess all that rain. So that was that the rain that that was given the dam the problem? Because I know they were having a dam issue in China.
Yeah.
Because they said it was too much rain. And they were afraid the dam was going to collapse, that Three Gorges Dam, or the Four Gorges Dam, I forget what it's called. They were worried that it was going to collapse last year or the year before, whenever. So, yeah, all right, wow. They can actually do it like that.
Yeah, so
no,
if they're talking about droughts, and I'm not a fan of weather weapons, but if they have the technology, if there's a drought in Phoenix, why can't they make some artificial clouds and make it rain for 3 days?
Exactly.
Not saying I want that fake rain. I'm saying that they could do it, and it would be justified.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think they just hate fossil fuels because it's very fossil fuel. I mean, look, you see everyone, you see the stuff on the internet on people with Tesla putting a gas generator in their car. They're in the trunk of their car. Or they're charging their battery with the gas generator outside their house. I mean, you get, those...
those electric cars, they're only going to go so far. You know, and
there
it's
was
take
one guy
long
that I just
to
saw in the news
up.
Earlier. He charged his Ford electric truck for 16 hours. He got 36 miles and the car stopped.
Wow. Could you imagine that? They want to, and they want to use that product. They're forcing that on us.
Yeah, it took 16 hours to get a full charge. Gone in 36 miles.
Incredible. I mean, I had a Ford Fusion. Was it a Ford Fusion? I think it was a Fusion. No, it was a Focus. I'm sorry. It was a Focus. And it was a hybrid. And,
yeah.
And you could, the engine, when you were braking, was charging the battery. But you could only go at most maybe 80 miles on a full charge. But the battery was getting charged by the braking of the car. I don't think you could do that with the Tesla. I think the Tesla, you have to actually plug it in. Once, you know,
well, this was
the
Ford
battery.
Electric vehicle.
Then they may have done away with that.
Yeah, the Ford electric trucks. I haven't seen anybody say they had success with that. I've been kind of watching that. But just imagine, you charge your car for almost a full day, and you can't go from Philadelphia
miles.
To Scranton.
You can't even go from one side of Philadelphia to the other.
Right, exactly.
Incredible. But has anybody challenged what Biden did with the by shutting down the pipelines or not?
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, because I'm just curious, because, you know, he canceled the pipeline, he canceled all the oil leases. I mean, I'm just curious, does he have the authority to do that? I thought it would have, you know, be Congress that does it.
I thought that the Supreme Court said that he couldn't, but I don't think that matters, and it's not like the Supreme Court really does that much right now anyway.
No. No, they right now they're worried about not getting injured, getting hurt. I think they got big targets on their back.
Well, I don't know whether they would get hurt from various thugs or they would get hurt by court packing.
I think they're more worried about the thugs. We have to worry about the court packing.
Yeah. I don't even know how many judges they would want. 15, 17? 105?
That's what Mark Levin said. Well, let's say Mark Levin said, let's put a 15. And then if the 15 doesn't work, we'll make it 19. Or how about 27? You know, how about 32 judges? Let's just, you know, just keep that number going. He says it becomes a problem. It's going to be a big problem once they start doing that. If they do it.
But the goal is to make it so laughable that we need an overthrow of the whole system, which, see, they want to overthrow our system, and then they want to overthrow the next system, which would be, that would leave us with the one world government. Adolf Hitler, one of his big things was to defund the police.
Yeah, and then they brought in their own police.
Right.
You know, they marched in their nationalized police force. You know, they're trying to do that here. They want to defund the police, but not the FBI. Go figure. You know, even in Georgia, speaking about Georgia, you have... Herschel Walker and that guy Warnock, they said that they're in a statistical dead heat now.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They're in a tie. And what is it about Warnock? I don't see why people would like him.
Proof. He's a Democrat.
Well, that's all you need.
That's, you know, and look at all that they're doing. You know, like you had mentioned earlier, you know, the Democrats, they're running from the media. They're not doing any debate because they have nothing to run on. And if they if they ask a question about crime, it's direct. The crime issue is because of what the Democrats have done. My skip program I was listening to the other day, and there was a woman who came on. She worked for Reader's Digest, and she was the one who started the whole Michael Dukakis issue with the releasing of criminals on, even people on murder, that were incarcerated for murder. He was sending them out. He was furloughing them on weekends, and one guy went out and killed a couple. She was saying that this is the crime issue in America now is a big problem, and this is going to be the issue that that caused Dukakis from losing. Who was he running against? He was running against Bush Senior, no? I forget who he was running against. But they're saying that this is going to have the crime problem is going to have the same effect on Democrats as a whole as it did on Dukakis when he was running for president. That blew up in his face.
I'll be honest, though. I can't wait till this is over. I just want to see our fate.
Well, poof, we're going to see what's going to happen. We don't know. You know, we hope, like you said, they don't know what they're going to pull, what tricks they're going to pull to get elected, the Democrats. And they're going to try. Georgia, they said that in the history of the state of Georgia, they've had the highest number of first-time voters in the early voting.
Yes, but remember, Atlanta is so repressive that the Atlanta Braves lost the All-Star game and they had to move it to Denver, which has more restrictive voting.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see who's we'll see what's going to happen with the Atlanta politics, with the Georgia politics. I think when the turnout is high, it always favors the Republicans. When turnout is low, it always favors the Democrats. That has always been that's the case for New York anyway. We'll see what happens. And they're also saying that the turnout for the midterms are going to be even higher than the numbers that the presidential election had last 2 years ago, and they're saying that that's really unbelievable if that's what's going to happen if they have that big a turnout.
And the thing is that Democrats historically do not vote a lot in midterms because they're more interested in the presidency, and that's about it.
Well, they may come out this time. We'll see. We'll see what they're going to do.
Yeah, we'll see how many votes that were printed off in China.
Uh-huh. It's funny. I was listening to a radio show, and I think it was Levin, and he was having old snippets of the Democrats, how Republicans a couple of years back were pushing to have electronic voting, and you had someone like Bernie Sanders saying electronic votes. If your vote doesn't get counted, there's no way of tracking it with a paper ballot. Don't trust it. And now all of a sudden, the Democrats love the electronic machine.
Well, they also love nuclear war now, too, so I don't... says they're in favor of nuclear war, I'm sorry, they're the extremists.
Proof, it's very scary, Proof. It's very scary what's going on. And the fact that we have Biden, who has his fingers on that button, and if not him, Kamala Harris, come on. Makes no sense. And even the former president, Medvedev, he even said that, if Putin says he's going to use it, he's going to use it. And he was backing Putin.
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying I understand. Because you can only poke somebody so long without getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. But that paws, that tiger, it still can reach through the bars and get you and keep hitting with that stick. I don't know. I'm not familiar with why they're fighting out there, but I'm just worried that it just might be a cover to escalate things, to cover for this COVID mess that's coming. I don't know.
It does a lot of things. When a president is in trouble, they could utilize basically anything. And nuclear war might mean that, hey, we're going to rally around Brandon. I don't think it will work that way, but that's what they think.
Yeah, and they will sacrifice us. Believe me. Brzezinski said it was easy to kill one person rather than killing a million. Now it's easy to kill a million. No one's going to complain about it.
It's just crazy to me how everybody that protested the Vietnam War back in the 60s and 70s are the ones saying that we need to have a nuclear war.
They want this, man, and I don't understand it. And like I said, this is very scary. What they're pushing, their advocacy, me, is very scary.
But let me ask you, though, is it because, and I'm not military at all, but is it the fact that so many people are not military that they don't understand what a nuclear war does?
They don't understand anything. I think that they see it as a way of winning. And, they don't realize the effects of it. I mean, all I know is I see movies, stuff on, photos, of Japan after the bombs are dropped. I mean, I've even seen videos of them, releasing, detonating bombs in Nevada and down the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Even this day, watching them scares the hell out of me. These things are massive, and they are just nothing but destruction. They will do nothing but kill and destroy. And they're all about winning. Democrats are all about winning at all costs.
All right, let me see what else we have here that, because I had a whole arsenal full of clips today, so let me see what we have. I want to hear this international banker that says the quiet part out loud. I want to play this real quick.
Folks, this digital ID is dangerous. It is a way to surveil you. It is a way to monitor you. It is a way to implement a digital ID with a digital currency so they can watch everything you're spending money on. The threat is growing. Every globalist of significance right now that I've seen is supporting some form of it. Here's another one. Here's Cecilia Skingsley from the Bank of International Settlement talking about how the digital ID and digital currencies, CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, how they have to kind of run in parallel. Folks, this is really bad news. Take a listen.
It's not a universal solution, but it can certainly be used and needs to go in package with support awareness and generally when it comes to digital technologies. And I think here the private sector and the public sector has to walk hand in hand. There's so much more that kind of unites us in these interests rather than we are on separate levels. And I think also to get this working, certainly in emerging market economies, it has to be combined with investments in network infrastructures and broadbands and the like.
Now, it's a lot of techno mumbo jumbo in there. There's a couple takeaways. This digital ID has to be combined with the private sector. Do you understand the private sector and the Bill Gateses of the world and the Googles of the world have loved this idea? You know how much money they're going to make off this, providing what you call the infrastructure for it? Do you have any idea how much cheese and cash big tech is going to make from it? Now do you see why they kiss the ass of the left? This is so Soviet. This is so Chinese Communist Party that it's almost as if when we allowed China into the WTO, when we pushed for it, the World Trade Organization, and we pushed for trade with China, which now I'm starting to acknowledge may have been a colossal mistake, a huge mistake, at least at the level we're doing it now. We thought we were going to bring liberty to China. And what happened, Joe? China bought surveillance and subjugation here. That is exactly what happened. This Epic Times piece, which is in the newsletter, describes it perfectly. They note that as we bemoan the naivete of George H.W. Bush, Clinton, and the 106th Congress, to the people involved with bringing China into the WTO and all, that Americans should also take heed. We've not only failed to convert China from communist authoritarianism to the ways of a democratic society as we hope, but we also made our own society more authoritarian in a manner that mimics some aspects of China. Gosh, that's so well said by J.G. Collins at the Epic Times. We really believe this, folks. And again, I am not here to tell you I'm above mistakes. You know, I have some, again, Avengers-like superpowers. I was an avid libertarian-like free trader. But I never took into account, and I don't think a lot of people did at the time, who subscribed to the same political ideology I do, that China would take the opportunity to advance its economy, to grow its surveillance state, and that the reverse would happen. We would import their ideas here. Social credit scores, mass censorship, digital IDs. It's amazing that we're not exporting prosperity, we're importing surveillance. It's incredible to watch. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
Yeah, so they want digital currency, so that's why they want to throw everything out.
Yeah, I was listening to that show this morning. You know, a couple of maybe last year they were doing some type of a town hall meeting on this digital currency, and this one woman that was up there, and I don't know if it's the same one that was talking today, that was talking on the Bongino Push, but there was a woman that said that they're going to have to, if they put this digital currency out there, they're going to have to issue a digital constitution, which basically they're going to use that to replace our constitution. That would be their goal. Said it with a smile, too. They have a lot to gain by doing this digital chip in your hand or whatever, mark of the beast. And it's only bad. There's nothing good going to come out of it.
But that won't be enough to get a civil war started, though.
No, I don't think so. Not over that, anyway. They would need another George Floyd type interest. Oh, did you hear about BLM? This was on the Candace Owens. Was it Candace Owens? I think she was talking about it. Apparently, Patrice Collier's gave a couple of million dollars of BLM money that was donated to them for a gender studies group that's run by her lesbian lover.
Mm.
And nothing's being done about that. Because, you know, that money was just getting washed and it was going to go right in their pocket. That's not going to help nothing out.
No, of course not. Although I do think that for the most part, the Democrats are done with BLM because they've used them up as much as they could. But
we'll see. You know, I still think that that's their ace in the hole. If we need them, you know, we'll call out to them. They'll come out and do their thing. There was an interview, I think Bongino did it, on one of the cops that was involved in the Breonna Taylor warrant incident where she got killed. He was the first one through the door, and he said she was standing there, and so was the boyfriend, and he just started shooting at her, you know. And she got caught up in it. You know, they're not making her out to be. He says, we weren't at the wrong house. We were at the right apartment. They were executing multiple search warrants at that moment. And, you know, they did not expect it to go the way it went. But he started shooting. And, you know, she was not an innocent victim. He said she wasn't an innocent victim. I think the book is called 12 Seconds to the Dark. Something like that.
All right, let's see what's next here. There's one other Dan Bongino here about the CDC. I wanted to play that at least before I got out of here tonight.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you, I'm shocked because they're so committed. The deep state public health, I'm using air quotes, bureaucracy, to making sure that their totalitarianism sticks and you have no body sovereignty whatsoever. They're doing it, 19 days before an election? This has to be the dumbest political move I have ever seen in my life. So the CDC has this branch that they do vaccine stuff, ACIP it's called, and Robert Malone has a Substack you can read in my newsletter today, mongino.com/newsletter. I encourage you to do it. So this is the article I was talking about. Robert Malone is a doctor. You can see the big vote is tomorrow. He wrote it yesterday. So we're talking about the vote today. It's now predicted, he notes, that the CDC is almost certain to add the COVID vaccine shot to its childhood vaccine schedule tomorrow, i.e. today. This means that public schools who use this schedule will now be able to mandate vaccines in order for children to attend public school. Folks, I haven't received as much email, Facebook messages, Twitter, True Social, skywriting, carrier pigeon, fury about a subject. I'm not kidding. In the 8 years or so I've been doing this podcast, there will be, let me just tell you what will happen. Just a warning right now, because I'm hoping this airs, and it should, before the CDC ACIP committee takes this vote, there will be a pulling out of children of public schools like you haven't seen in modern American history. I would expect attendance in public schools that mandate this to drop potentially by double digits. We'll see. I'll be stunned if I'm wrong. You will see governors who are responsible for implementing this in blue states, because red states won't do it. Matter of fact, it's forbidden in Florida. You can't mandate, by law, you can't mandate the COVID vaccine for children in schools in Florida. So you don't have to worry about that down here. You will see a rebellion in blue states. Gretchen Whitmer, or even like swingy, maybe even almost leaning red states, Kansas. You will not see a Democrat swing state governor left standing. They will all be put on the spot with this. This is quite possibly the single dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. Now, what worries me about this is there are some liberal-leaning, even Catholic schools, who, believe me, folks, don't. A lot of them are not practicing religion as they should, and faith, if you know what I mean. Not all of them, who are going to follow suit. This is really dangerous. The CDC's panicking. They're saying, well, if we make it part of the schedule, it doesn't mean public schools have to mandate these shots. Well, not in all cases. But it doesn't mean that to take the shots isn't exactly accurate either. Tucker Carlson addressed this last night. Check this out.
In response to our segment, the CDC complained on Twitter. They claimed that states and not the CDC established vaccine requirements for school children. But like so much else that we have heard from the CDC, and it pains us to say this, but it's true. Like so much else they have told us over the last 2 years, they're lying. And they know they're lying. More than a dozen states follow the CDC's immunization schedule to set vaccination requirements, not suggestions, requirements for children to be educated. For example, the Virginia Department of Health states that, quote, vaccines must be administered in accordance with the CDC's schedule. The state of Massachusetts says, quote, no student shall attend a preschool, elementary school, or secondary school program without a certificate of immunization documenting that a child has been successfully immunized in accordance with a schedule that was, quote, developed in accordance with the recommendations of the CDC's advisory panel. Tennessee says its immunization requirement, quote, followed the current schedule from the CDC. New Jersey, Vermont, Ohio say virtually the same thing. We could go on. The point is the CDC sets the standard, and then it becomes required across the country. And, of course, they know that. Of course they know that. If they know anything, they know that. So we called the CDC and asked a simple question. Do you deny that once the COVID vaccine is added to the child's immunization schedule, many schools and states will require it based on your recommendation? And of course, they know that's true. We caught them lying, so they didn't even bother to respond to us because apparently we're not American citizens and don't deserve a response. Does not enhance your faith at all.
Of course, the CDC silence speaks loudly. Folks are lying to you again. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Nobody wants these gene therapies, and just because they mandate them doesn't mean that people will all of a sudden be happy playing Russian roulette with their bodies.
And that's what it's leading to, Pete. That is 100% what's coming out of this, is Russian roulette. It is Russian roulette.
So I got one more clip I want to play. It's a 3-minute clip from Tucker Carlson about Amazon.
So you go on Amazon.com, and you remember this started as a bookstore, an online bookstore. It's the biggest bookstore in the world. They have everything. There's nothing you can't find on Amazon, including used books. So if you were to go onto Amazon to read books by a man who is in the news and whose ideas are directly bearing on world events, you would look for a guy called Alexander Dugin. Dugin is one of Russia's most famous authors and political philosophers. He doesn't work for the government. He doesn't work for Vladimir Putin. Just a philosopher. So if you're interested in, like, what are they thinking over there, you would search Dugin's author page on Amazon, but you would not find any results. Really? Kind of a big author to be left off Amazon. So we reach out to Amazon to ask, why can't we find any books by this guy? And then we realize because he's been banned from Amazon. So then we asked Amazon for a list of all books and authors who've been banned from their platform. And they wouldn't give it to us. So we went back and forth, and finally Amazon provided a 6-word response, and we're quoting, Amazon complies with all applicable laws. Applicable laws? Well, in the United States, there are no laws against publishing books because we have the First Amendment. The government can never, under any circumstances, censor any book, period, or anything that you have to say, period, because that's the core of our Bill of Rights. Then we learned that Amazon and the Justice Department were ignoring our Bill of Rights. Amazon apparently based this decision on a Treasury Department designation concerning, quote, disinformation. And that designation applies not only to Dugin, but also to his family, though not to his daughter, who was murdered recently by the Ukrainian government, but we're not allowed to say that. What did she do wrong? Well, I guess she said the wrong thing, but that's cool because they're fighting for freedom. But that's not the point. The point is, in our country, which is very different from Ukraine, we're allowed to read whatever we want. But we can't now because the Biden administration is demanding that the biggest bookseller in the world censor books that they disagree with. And Amazon complies without asking any questions. Now, this is as clear a violation as the First Amendment as you could concoct in a law school class. So then we reach out to the Treasury Department. Did this really happen? Yeah, it did. They essentially confirmed it. Quote, we don't comment on possible enforcement matters, but the Treasury Department continues to vigorously enforce Russia-related sanctions. Oh, really? There is no legal basis for ever censoring any book if you're the U.S. government. That is not allowed. That's the main thing that's not allowed in this country, period. You don't care who wrote the book. You're allowed to read it. You can read any book you want. You're an American. And if you cease to be able to read any book you want, it doesn't matter if you're an American because you're just a serf. Well, Amazon has refused to provide us with a list of the other books they are banning, but they clearly are banning a lot of different books. And why can't we know what those books are? We're going to continue to look into this. And if there are any legal challenges to the book banning, which is one click from book burning, we hope there are legal challenges. We'll let you know about those as well.
All right, so, yeah, they haven't banned the Alex Jones book just yet. I'm waiting on it.
No, not yet, but they will. You know they will. You know they will.
I think it would just be too obvious right now because if it's in the top five or whatever, because they got called out for not having the book at number one when it was number one.
Interesting. Interesting.
All right, so any last words here before I shut down?
Nah. Just hopefully tomorrow will be a better day. Let's hope.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, Vito. We appreciate having you.
Yeah, no problem, Proof. I love calling the show.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and shut it down here. We got like roughly 3 minutes. We're not going to learn anything. I don't have enough time to go into anything, and I'm not going to play a commercial, so I'll go ahead and break it down here. I'm just getting my outro music together here. All right, everybody, please support the other shows on Freedomizer. It is not just the Proof Negative show here, but I'll be back Monday. We do have a bunch of broadcasting on the weekends. So in the meantime, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am Boots.
Good night, Boots.